Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
Make sure you check us out every Wednesday, every Saturday on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Be sure to check out But You're Wrong Facebook page, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Please give us a like on there and follow us on Twitter at BYW Podcast.
And on YouTube at youtube.com/BYW Podcast. If you like Keith, make sure you check him out on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
All right, so where am I right now? When is this going up?
I think you're in Seattle right now, Keith.
Is this going up on Wednesday, though?
Yeah.
So actually, I'm in Portland.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You're on the fucking West Coast someplace.
I'm on specific time.
3 hours behind me, so recording would be a bitch.
Yes, plus, I mean, let's be honest. I was spending time with family. I had a wonderful visit, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
And now I'm taking a couple days to hang out in Portland with Rachel. So, we are giving you a best of.
A little best of is the earlier on episodes.
Yeah. We're trying to... Because let's be honest, the first few episodes are a little rough. Listening back to them, we're still a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. Not that we're not rough around the edges now, but it was rough quality around the edges.
Yeah. Yes. Mics weren't that good. We were still trying to figure out how to use audio editing equipment and trying to figure out what the hell we were doing. But as you can tell by now, we've greatly improved. So we're giving you the best of...
The crap?
Yeah, the best of the crap, really.
The best of the crap. So the top of the crap heap, that's what we're going to give you.
Yeah, this will be the best of Volume 1, best of the crap. Because I think really this will be... Well, maybe this one will end. This will be somewhere in the first 10 episodes. I think really once we hit like 15, we really started kind of hitting our stride. Let's face it. When you actually hear it, you'll know when we actually really started figuring things out.
Yeah, and it probably wasn't in this group of episodes.
No, definitely not. But there's a lot of stuff that starts here that you'll pick up on later. So maybe now you'll get some of the stuff we've referred back to, and then you don't actually have to sit through the whole episode to find out what's going on.
Yeah, who wants to do that? Actually, you should do that.
Right.
Five stars.
Yes, five. rate us on what we're doing right now, not on before. But yes, please do that. All right, so I'm going to hand it off to Greg, and he's going to take you through a spiritual journey, so to speak, of the best of the crap. And if this is going up Wednesday, Saturday will still be some kind of a fill-in episode, and then we'll be back kind of more regular next Wednesday.
And away we go.
We're live. Take the wheel.
Hello, everyone. This is But You're Wrong with Greg.
And Keith.
Why, hello there. This is Greg. Keith isn't here right now. He's off in Portland or Seattle or someplace insane out on the West Coast. I don't know. But I'll be taking you through a few episodes in our past. This is what we like to call the best of the crap. What you just heard was the opening of episode 4. We've come a long way since then. And we've discussed many topics. One of our favorites is Jesse Ventura. It's something that we've discussed many times, and we'll probably discuss it a lot more. Here's the first time he came up. Enjoy.
You'd call it up and be like, and it would ring fine, and you'd be like, sir, you should check it out. I just got it fixed for you. And they're like, oh, thank you. Like, yeah. Oh, no problem.
Yep. Or when I was working with the cell phones, and people will come in and be like, "Oh, sure, it's not going to do it now for you."
That's always the way it is, though.
And then they would get really accusatory. that a word? Accusatory?
Yeah, that's a word, yeah.
Accusatory. That the, that we somehow had the phone specially programmed.
Oh, what? So it would, it so would, like, so after, fuck with them, but not with you?
Exactly. So some people would say that after the 13th month, when the warranty was up, we would start having problems. We would cause them to have problems with the phone. And then when they came in here, there was something that would tell the phone that it was here, so it would stop having a problem.
Are they out of their fucking minds?
I don't. Quite possibly. I think one time I actually agreed with somebody, and I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't spread it around because we try to keep that a secret, but...
Yeah, you know, we're really we're trying to screw you.
We do have the GPS locator on here, so...
Now, it's one thing for it to stop working, like, after a year. Like, I've seen shit like that where, you know, it feels like they built it just to last long enough to outlive the warranty, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Now, these people think there's actually, like, a little timer that goes off. That's a little absurd, I feel.
Yeah. That's a pretty big conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I feel like Jesse Ventura should probably get into.
They put thermite paint in the cell phones.
My absolute favorite, the thermite paint.
Thermite paint in the cell phones.
I know things. People tell me things.
That show was the greatest show. I wish it was. I don't think it's still on. I think they stopped after a season. But he would meet people in shady motel rooms, and the guy it would be a very sketchy looking guy, and he would be like, "Yeah, well, I was there when Kennedy was shot. I was actually standing behind the second shooter." And Jesse Ventura would be like, "Oh my God, this proves it." And yet, you never saw, like, a news story that was like, sources say, second shooter confirmed. And he's like, the government doesn't want you to know this. Well, the government really didn't want me to know this, and it was this big of a conspiracy, they probably would have killed you at some point. Like, you would have been dead a long time ago if anything that you were saying is right.
The only reason why any of these people who just go off on these crazy tangents about conspiracy theories and all that stuff, the only reason why they aren't dead is because they are so full of shit and they're babbling idiots. And the government probably thinks, you know what? We're better off having these nuts out there because it really probably leads people away from the actual conspiracies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there is some shady shit that the government does. But I'm more likely to believe that some of the unanswered questions, some of the things that don't make sense about 9/11 are things that were either covered up for national security because they involve some kind of technology that they don't want to make it widely known, or because people fucked up big time and they don't want everybody to know that people fucked up big time.
Oh, right. It's, I mean, lapses in security and shit like that. They might not want you to know how bad it really was. So they cover that up. They're not covering up the fact that they did it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's insanity.
Those guys. Well, in our next sequence, we discuss the word mook, which you may not know exactly what a mook is, but I'm sure you have a good idea. And if you feel like being cultured, and I use that term loosely, you should check out the next sequence, where we'll discuss the term mook and a few of our other favorites. Enjoy.
And she goes, "What?" And I go, "That mook. You know, mook like a mook." Yeah. She goes, "Are you saying mook?" And I go, "Yeah, mook." She goes, "What the hell does that mean?"
"What's a mook?"
I go, "Well, it's like that guy." I was like, I don't really know the best way to explain it. He's kind of like a douche, I guess. I don't.
You know what the worst thing is that if you ask me to just tell you what a mook meant, I'd probably say a chooch. I'm like, "I don't know, you're like a chooch."
And I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's like an a-hole.
Where'd you get that from?
A what? A chooch?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. I always use chooch.
You always use mook with me.
Yeah, it's because I think you're a mook.
What's funny is, I looked it up on Urban Dictionary, because Rachel's still going, I don't get it. And I'm like, I don't know. So I looked up on Urban Dictionary and showed it to her. Apparently, it actually comes from like a PBS, like Nightline or Charlie Rose fucking thing. Like,
what?
Special. And that's where Moo comes from. But so I show her that, and she turns to me and goes, well, you're kind of a Moo then, too.
Well, I mean, you know, not disagreeing, but I'm sure this guy was more of a moot than you.
Let me see. There's two definitions on here. I just looked it up. Coined in the Scorsese film Mean Streets, meaning an asshole or loser.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says a term coined by Douglas Rushkoff in an episode of PBS's Frontline entitled The Merchants of Cool.
What?
Mooks are archetypal young males who act like moronic boneheads. They are self-centered simpletons who live a drunken frat boy lifestyle. Examples can be found anytime someone watches Jackass. Rushkoff claimed that the media glorifies this ideal and stifles natural self-expression. However, some people might argue teenage boys have always acted like morons. Nonetheless, standardized conformist dumbass culture be kind of near of exuberance is a scary notion indeed. Wow, this fucking person that did this definition really likes to editorialize.
I was going to say, this is on Urban Dictionary, this guy?
Yeah. And then it's like,
I see, this is the one professional guy that's writing definitions on Urban Dictionary.
Actually, you might like this next one. So the next one is a dumb male, typically young, and from the Northeast.
Ignorant and
garish, mooks are easily defined by one of a dozen characteristics listed in the examples below. Well, fuck that. But typically from Long Island or northern New Jersey, mooks have spread into NYC, southern Jersey, Philly, and Boston. The capital of the mook world is the Jersey Shore in summer with spillover into Atlantic City.
Oh, yeah.
This is the part you'll really like, though. Yankee Stadium is, unfortunately, another cesspool of mooks.
It is a cesspool of mooks.
If you see a mook, do not approach him. They are irrational and prone to violence. Simply observe from a distance. They are loud. You will not miss anything. If they approach you, use simple generic phrases like, you see the game last night, or I'm good, bro, or yeah, I'll be down at the shore this weekend to dismiss them.
All right, I like whoever wrote that. Oh, God, yeah. No, I've been to Yankee Stadium, and there's quite a few mooks. And I've also been to Atlantic City. Also, mooks.
So I was trying to explain it to her, and then I think, and then she kind of caught on. But yeah, mook.
I mean,
this episode is brought to you by the word mook.
and the number 14.
Why 14?
I don't know. Isn't that how many dicks he sucks? Anyways.
So tell Rachel the word mook.
So you gotta teach her chooch, fanoch, stugats.
You're gonna have to teach me some of those too.
Okay.
Because I use them almost all interchangeably.
They are kind of interchangeable. Stugats is like a cock.
Okay.
The other ones are all the same.
That's pretty what I figured.
Much. Yeah. Or Momo. Momo's a good. I love Momo.
What's Momo?
It's the same thing as a mook. Or just, it's just an idiot. You just call someone a Momo.
So let me get this straight. Alaskans have 47 words for snow. Italians have 47 words for the word jerk.
Basically. There's just a million different things we call the same. Just an asshole. A jerk, you know? You can say any one of those I just said.
Oh, those were some great times. Well, coming up, we have a little piece about Crispin Glover. And I know a lot of you kids these days might not know who Crispin Glover is, because, well, let's face it, no one really gives a shit about Crispin Glover nowadays. But back in the 80s, he was a fairly big name, and we discussed one of the most infamous times of any celebrity on TV, which was Crispin Glover on the David Letterman show. If you've never seen it, I advise you to check it out.
It's not quite as bad as, like, the, oh my god, the Crispin Glover Letterman thing, but it's close.
Yeah.
Like, that is just out of control. That is one of the quintessential meltdowns. Like, he loses it, and it's awkward. It's really awkward to watch. And Letterman's sitting there. He has no idea what to do. And he, like, looks over at, like, the producer guy, and he's like, have you ever watched a man die in front of you? Because that's what's happening right now. He's wearing, like, platform shoes, and he's got, like, hair. He looks like a woman. Let me see what he was doing in 87.
So Crispin Glover had an absolute meltdown.
Yeah, that there's really no other way to describe that incident other than a meltdown.
I don't even think he was doing anything in 87. It doesn't look like it. Maybe they just booked the appearance to try and save his image.
Well, mission successful.
Wow, and he starts kicking and...
Yeah, he comes really close to kicking Letterman in the face with those shoes.
And Letterman's trying to ask for help. And I would guarantee that all of a sudden, as soon as he did the kicking, the production manager, whoever, was giving him the cut sign and, like, leave, abort.
Yeah. I feel like they must have just kicked him out. They must have been like, you gotta get out of here.
Yeah. So, did we ever find out what was in the case that he had?
No. I've always wanted to know what he had in that case.
It looked like ears or something.
It was like a little science experiment or something that he brought along with him.
It looked like weird ears that he had collected of, like, things he had killed or something like that.
Like,
he's like, I'm strong, I've killed all these things.
Yeah, well, like, he starts showing off his biceps. He's like, look at me, I'm strong, I can, I'm like, dude. I don't know. He must have been on something. There's no way.
It's almost as mysterious as the case that was...
Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction, yeah.
It was just full of ears. Crispin Glover found the case.
Do you want to see this case that I had? I found it for a movie that hasn't been made yet.
Well, you know, he was well versed on time travel and such things, so.
So he went to the future, got the case from a fictional movie.
Yes, and then brought it to Letterman. And acted like a complete moron, so we never got to find out what was in the stupid case. I don't know, I mean, did someone tell him, you know, you should probably go on Letterman, act like a real weirdo, and bring something for show and tell?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, who brings shit with them on Letterman? Because I'm looking right now, I don't think there was anything going on. I mean, he was in 1986, he was in At Close Range and River's Edge, and then he was in a movie called Twister in 1989. Coincidentally, though, not the same Twister as we all know and love with Bill Paxton. Because I believe that was like 95 or something.
Trying to see if they came up with what was in the case. Because I'm really curious now. This is going to keep me up at night.
That's going to keep you up? You got some problems, sir.
So,
are you finding what was in that case or no?
No.
Yeah.
We're just going to go with ears. It was a bunch of ears. Because that's what it looked like.
It did look like ears.
So how the hell do we get on Crispin Glover?
Oh, that Crispin Glover. He's such a weird guy. Such an interesting character. Well, it was a good talking about him. But It's always nice to hop onto another topic that we know equally as little about. Actually, no, probably a lot less about. And that's relationships. And what makes a good one? So, if you need some women advice, why don't you take a listen?
How you should know ahead of time when a girl is just a slut?
Well, yeah, I mean, how you should actually really think about what you're doing, and figure that the person is going to act exactly the same way.
I mean, people always revert back to their normal routine. How often does anyone really change? How often have you said, I'm going to do this? Like, even in a relationship setting and been like, yeah, I'm going to go this path. And then you just completely revert back. You get lazy. You gain weight. You give up. Yeah. No. Trust me, I know.
It's possible to make a change in yourself, but if you're trying to make a change for somebody else, that's just not going to happen. And people, I think, know that, but people expect other people to do that.
You got to want to change, but most people don't want to change. They change something or change how they appear so that they can fuck someone else. But as soon as they've conquered that goal, they just kind of revert back to some terrible human being that they used to be.
Yeah.
Am I right? I mean, how many girls have you been like, oh, well, you know what? She's different. She's very nice now. You know, maybe she's not a fucking slut anymore.
I'm sure things will be different when she's with me and she's not with this other creature, this other
chowed ahead. Right. And then, you know, you treat her nice, you know, you buy her nice things, you take her out to eat, and then...
And everything's... she does seem different for a while, and then...
Yeah, she puts effort in. I'll give her that.
And then all of a sudden, you're just like, well, that was no different than where I was... than really where she was before.
Exactly.
And then you go, how did I not see this before?
She breaks up with you, and all of a sudden she's, you know, having sex with some creep, which is her regular routine.
Good.
Some guy named Ian. That was a little high fidelity.
I was going to say, was that meant to be a high fidelity reference?
Yes, it was. I was going to say someone else, but you don't know him, and I don't want to start throwing rumors around. Not rumors, but I don't want to throw names around, because I'm not that kind of guy.
we should have prefaced this by saying that our hostility has nothing to do with anything either one of us has recently been through. At least not for me.
Yeah, I mean,
you haven't really been through anything. You're just you're single. You're out on the market. You're dealing with people's stupidity.
Right. Keith is in a loving relationship.
Right. I do. I deal with a whole level of
there's
whole
much
other
love.
Level of stupid shit.
No, yeah, he's got to deal with actual relationship stupid shit. I got to just deal with single stupid shit.
Yeah. I got to deal with the actual problem.
Oh, well, excuse me.
No, you guys have the cute problems where you guys get each other the same gift for Christmas. Or...
When has that ever happened?
I don't know. That's another high fidelity reference. I really do like that movie.
Well, I do like that movie. But realistically... I mean, I can't imagine ever a situation where I would get the same gift for a woman that she would get for me. Plus, I never know what to get for a woman.
Unless it was a gag gift. If it was like a gag gift, like, oh, remember this terrible movie we both watched?
Oh, yeah, when you try to be cute or something.
God forbid you should try to do that.
Yeah, no, it's the worst. It's a terrible idea, and you should never try to be cute because you're just going to end up looking like a jerk.
All right, Costanza.
No. Think about this, right? Think about the way that you act sometimes with your girlfriend or any girlfriend that you've been with. You know, when you act cute, you might even do a stupid voice. You know, you say things. Can you imagine if any of your friends ever got to see that? Like, and we all do it. We all act like retards when it comes to women.
Yep.
But if anyone actually ever saw that, like if you had that on video and played it back, you'd want to fucking kill yourself. But you do it.
If you got caught calling her schmoopy.
Yeah, you calling her schmoopy. Or just like, you know, it's just a dumb voice. Sometimes I look back, I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with me? But you have to do it. Because otherwise, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
And you know what? To a point, you almost enjoy doing it if you're getting something out of it. I don't know. That's just my take on it. So what have you been up to?
And to think, I've had people out there tell me, Greg, why don't you have a girlfriend? Or, well, maybe they haven't said that, but they've said, oh, you're single? Well, you know what, maybe they haven't said that either. You know what, if anyone does ask any of those questions, I could probably just play back that episode and be like, this is why I don't have a girlfriend. I am a selfish, selfish man who doesn't understand women at all. But one thing I do understand is weird news and just weird stories. And that brings us to our next topic, and that's the Kardashians. Well, kind of the Kardashians, and people who want to sue them for being terrorists and for fornicating in hotel rooms with unicorns and Chris Humphreys, and I don't know. I mean, I didn't make it up, so blame them. But if you feel like being entertained by insanity, you should keep on listening, because that's what we got coming for you.
I've been very excited about this news article that I wanted to share with you.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for days. It better be fucking good.
Do you know about the West Virginia lawsuits?
You're gonna have to.
Okay,
you're gonna have to give me an overview here.
Okay. I don't know if I can read the headline to you. This is from the Miami New Times. I'm gonna skip the headline because obviously the editor did not talk to the writer and ruined everything in the headline, although it is grabbing headline. But we'll start into the article here. Two lawsuits filed in West Virginia are seeking restraining orders against Kim Kardashian. Guess why?
Does it have something to do with her giant ass?
Surprisingly, no.
Okay.
Okay. No really guess. You can even use the hints in the headline, which aren't hints at all, which are only a small part of the batshit insane fantasies described in the complaints. Did you guess that one of the suits would claim that Kim, her ex-husband Chris Humphreys, and Humphreys' current girlfriend, Mila Sinaj, held
a Philadelphia... Who the
hell is that? I don't know. Whoever. His current girlfriend held a Philadelphia man at gunpoint and forced him to watch the three of them having sex for 5 hours in their hotel room, which was filled with barnyard animals and a unicorn.
This is what this man is claiming?
Yes. This is one of the lawsuits. The other correct guess.
There's one of them?
That's one of them. The other correct guess is that a Brooklyn man stumbled upon Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Kris Jenner, Bruce Jenner, Khloe Kardashian, and Kourtney Kardashian at an Al-Qaeda training camp in the West Virginia mountainside, where they burned the American flag and where West performed a concert for all the terrorists at the camp.
Wow. So Kanye West is performing concerts for Al-Qaeda training camps in West Virginia?
Yes.
Now, did this guy witness the concert?
Let me see here.
Because if he got a free concert, I don't know what the hell he's complaining about.
It says he stumbled upon them, so let's see. According to the suit, via Wheeling, West Virginia, CBS affiliate station WTRF, they all drank Jim Jones juice, and then the defendants got shovels and were digging coal and fracking at mines in West Virginia to get fuel to make weapons of mass destruction, and Kris Jenner was enriching uranium.
So wait, the coal was part of the weapons of mass destruction? They were using just coal?
Well, no, I think they were using the coal to fuel machines that were building.
Oh, so does it mention anywhere in these articles that any of these people were ever in West Virginia at any time.
I don't because know. To be honest, I only read a small part of the article, so I'm discovering it with you, because I figured that would be way more fun. Plaintiff, Gino Romano. Gino Romano.
It's embarrassing.
almost as embarrassing as that soccer match.
Ugh. You know, dude, I got 35 minutes through that stupid soccer game. I got 35 minutes into it, and I was like, wow, soccer was really terrible. And I was like, I actually was rooting for Italy, but it's not worth that. Anyways, go on.
Also claims that all the Kardashians' earnings are going to Al-Qaeda, and that Kanye is the leader of the Chicago street gang El Rukn, R-U-K-N. And that Kim Kardashian will launch a selection of veils for her clothing line. And that Khloe Kardashian tried to behead Romano. So Khloe Kardashian apparently came at this guy with a sword and tried to cut his head off.
She is terrible, though. I mean, they're all terrible, but she's ugly. At least the other two are good looking.
Well, yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there.
And that's the least insane of the two suits. The other suit filed by plaintiff Jonathan Kimberly tells the harrowing tale of a simple man who just wanted to get some sleep. But the celebrities in the room next door to his room, it's room number 69, of course, were making
He really says that? It's number 69? Awesome.
We're making too much noise. I heard a bunch of banging and sounds of sheep, the suit reads. So you're in a hotel, and where was the hotel, did it say? Philadelphia, maybe? Philadelphia Man, but I don't know, it didn't say where it was.
Okay.
But you're trying to go to sleep in a hotel room, and you hear, bah, bah. So,
your next... That's fine, I don't even have a comment.
Your next move is to then go to the door and knock on it and say, can you keep the noise down, please?
See, I'm sick enough that my first reaction would probably be to try and record it with my iPhone.
Yes! So, let's see. He saw through the peephole, and this person is smart enough to point out, which was apparently installed backwards, that Kim Kardashian, Chris Humphries, and Mila Sinaj were inside making a sex tape as sheep, two goats, and a unicorn looked on.
Looked on?
Yeah, I guess he naturally assumed they were witnesses.
and they were enjoying it, too.
How do you know if a sheep and two goats and a unicorn were enjoying watching you have sex?
Well, I don't know. I mean, as they watched on, I mean, maybe they were... I don't know.
He also saw an E logo on the camera filming the action, and Kardashian injecting steroids.
What?
He saw the Kardashian injecting steroids into Humphrey's arm, telling him, I'm going to juice you up, baby, for the next season.
Oh, yeah. A lot of basketball players doing steroids.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Now, Sinaj, meanwhile, was bobbing her head up and down with a voodoo doll in her hand and rosary beads.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay, all right. I'm going to accept it for now.
Kimberly shouted through the door that he was trying to get some sleep, and that's when things got, quote-unquote, real. Now... I don't know about you, but let's just say up until this point, he's telling the truth.
Okay.
And he sees, he looks through the reverse people.
What, yeah, well, is Kramer and Newman living there?
He looks through the people and sees all this going on. Which, I'm going to be honest, I don't understand how all of this fit into a room. Or how they would have gotten the unicorn, the sheep, and two goats into the room. But.
Like, what the hell kind of a hotel is this? I mean.
Yeah.
Like, is this guy, was this Motel 6 and you got famous people staying there or what?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a sex tape with a unicorn, you got to go to a Motel 6. Are they the ones that keep the light on for you?
They do. They keep the light. See, the thing is that the unicorn keeps getting brought up, and I don't even really want to acknowledge the fact that he's claiming there was a unicorn. Because I almost want to, like, keep the belief alive.
I love the unicorn. Yeah, there was a unicorn.
I mean, I suppose they could have taken a pony and stuck, like, a dildo on its head.
I mean, that would make the most sense.
Oh, those Kardashians. They are always up to something, aren't they? I mean, who would think? Motel 6? Pony with a dildo on its head. I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. I mean, these are the things you do with money, I guess. I don't know. I don't really have money, so I can't say. But it was enjoyable nonetheless. So moving on is one of our topics that we really got in depth with this one. It was John Titor, whatever his name is, and how he was time traveling, and his stories and the things he was posting on the internet about time traveling. Yeah, throw this out there. I'm not sure I believe him. I'm not sure Keith does either, but hey, whatever. We'll go with it. It's a worthy topic for a worthy podcast. So, enjoy, with a grain of salt.
But going into kind of conspiracy theories, it's a good lead-in. Do you know about John Titor? I think T-I-T-O-R. I'm going to say Titor.
That sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
So, John, it's kind of a conspiracy theory, but kind of also one of those hoaxes that almost seems plausible. So, John Titor is a name that was used on internet bulletin boards between 2000 and 2001. And he claimed to be a time traveler from the year 2036.
Okay, yeah, no, I've never heard of this.
This isn't ringing a bell?
No.
Okay, so I have in front of me the Wikipedia entry about this guy. So I haven't really delved in too deep, so we'll kind of go through it together. That's all I know is that he was a guy who claimed to be a time traveler from the year 2036. He made predictions, and he was sent back in time to retrieve, let me find it specifically, an IBM 5100 computer.
He was sent back in time to retrieve an IBM computer?
Yes, an IBM 5100 from 1975.
Okay, all right.
So you with me so far?
I am with you currently.
Okay. He made a bunch of predictions, starting with events in 2004. But as of 2012, none of these have taken place. He described a drastically changed future in which the United States had broken into five smaller regions. The environment infrastructure had been devastated by a nuclear attack, and most of the other world powers had been destroyed.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And what year was that supposed to be by?
2012. I guess it was supposed to start somewhere before now.
Oh, okay.
So let's see. He posted under Time Traveler _0, but then the names came out. He started calling himself John Titor. The post discussed. So in the post discussed time travel in general, the first one being the 6-part description of what a time machine would need to have work. So he was going on, and people were asking him questions, and he actually responded to stuff.
So, okay, so he would almost do like a question and answer type thing about...
I guess so.
Okay.
So let's see. In his outline postings, Titor claimed to be an American soldier from the year 2036, based in Tampa, in Hillsborough County, Florida. He was assigned to a governmental time travel project. Titor had been sent back to 1975 to retrieve an IBM 5100 computer, which he said was needed to debug various legacy computer programs in 2036. And it's a reference to the Unix 2038 problem. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Titor had been selected for this mission specifically given that his paternal, not fraternal, paternal
uh-huh.
grandfather was directly involved with the assembly and programming of the 5100. Sitter claimed to be on a stopover in the year 2000 for quote-unquote personal reasons, i.e. to collect pictures lost in the future Civil War, so the one that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, he had to pick up the picture of Sarah Connor that ends up being burned.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Continue.
He had to find out who his mother was.
Right.
Titter also said he had been for a few months trying to alert anyone that would listen about the threat of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease spread through beef products and about the possibility of civil war within the United States. When questioned about them by an online subscriber, Titter also expressed an interest in mysteries such as UFOs, which remained unexplained in his time. Titter suggested that UFOs and extraterrestrials might be travelers from much further into the future than his own time with superior time machines. So...
Continue.
So here's where it starts to fall apart for me.
Oh, it hasn't fallen apart yet?
No, I'm saying these are the parts that really get me.
Okay.
I mean, somebody comes online and says, I'm a time traveler. I'm going to say, okay, prove it. And he says, my mission is to retrieve an IBM 5100 from 1975. Well, then why are you in the year 2000? Well, I'm here for personal reasons. Was it your fucking period? why are you stopping in the year 2000? To debug various legacy computer programs in 2036. So what you're telling me is that nobody in the year 2036 is smart enough to figure out technology from 1975 on their own.
However, they apparently have the technology to send people back in time.
Yes.
Yet they can't debug a computer.
Now, the other part that gets me is he was specifically selected for the mission because of his paternal grandfather being involved in it. Because somehow that makes a big difference.
How does that make anyone qualified to do anything? My grandfather could have been part of the Manhattan Project. That doesn't mean I know anything about nukes.
Yeah. It's like the Assassin's Creed before Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Like your genetic memory will send you back. So here already I'm starting to think that this guy just saw 12 monkeys and started freaking out.
Oh, God.
So he goes online to try and talk to people. Now, here's a part entitled Time Machine. Let's find out about his wonderful time machine. It was made out of a DeLorean.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Titter described the time machine on several occasions. In an early post, he described it as a stationary mass, temporal displacement unit powered by two top-spinning dual positive singularities, producing a stand-offset Tipler sinusoid. Sinusoid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The earliest post was more explicit, saying it contained the following. I don't know why they would publish this, because then I can just go build a time machine. A two magnetic housing units for the dual microsingularities, an electron injection manifold to alter mass and gravity microsingularities, a cooling and X-ray venting system.
You gotta have that. If you don't have that, you're fucked.
Gravity sensors or veritable gravity lock, four main cesium clocks, three main computer units, and that's it. According to... Oh, my God, I think I might have been right. According to the posts, the device was installed in... Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
The rear of a 1967 Chevrolet Corvette convertible and later moved to a 1987 truck having four-wheel drive. So they can't get an IBM computer from 1975, but they can get a Chevy convertible
from the
67.
I feel like the technology for time travel might not be small enough to fit into a Corvette. I don't know what you're thinking.
That's a good point. Maybe that's why they had to move it into a truck.
In addition to the fact that this whole thing is insane. So they're sending someone back in time to get a computer to debug their computers. However, that's the most important thing. Like, why wouldn't they send someone back in time to try and stop the impending nuclear war or whatever it was?
Well, because then it would be too obvious. Titter further claimed that the Everett Wheeler model of quantum physics was correct. I don't know what that means, but it sounds important. Yeah,
sure.
But this may answer some of your questions why they didn't do other things. This model, better known as the many worlds interpretation, so the multiverse, posits that every possible outcome of a quantum decision actually occurs in a separate universe. Titter stated that this was the reason the grandfather paradox would not occur. Titter would be killing a different John Titter's grandfather in a timeline other than his own. And I guess this is a quote from Titter.
Ravings of a lunatic.
The grandfather paradox is impossible. In fact, all paradox is impossible. The Everett Wheeler Graham or multiple world theory is correct. All possible quantum states, events, possibilities, and outcomes are real, eventual, and occurring. The chances of everything happening someplace at some time in the superverse is 100%. But then how does he know? If he goes back in time and kills his grandfather and then goes forward in time, is he also traveling between the multiverse?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if he goes back, how does he know he's going back to the same future where they need the computer to debug the other shit?
Yeah. So maybe there's a timeline where they don't need to know that.
Right. You know what? This guy is just full of shit.
So he made predictions.
Okay. Oh, I gotta hear this.
let's hear his predictions. Although invoking the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, whereby events from his own timeline may differ, Titter also expressed assurance that the differences were minimal. That doesn't make sense.
I thought he said that all possibilities were all right, whatever. Continue.
Because basically, there should be, if all possibilities exist, there should be a universe where you and I are like the apes from Planet of the Apes and we're roommates.
Okay.
And we have our own reality show. Because, like, that should be an option. So somewhere in a multiverse, that is happening right now.
Dude, that's awesome.
But he's saying that the differences aren't that big.
Even though he said everything's possible.
Yes.
Okay.
He was on his meds that day, so he was feeling hopeful. And he was saying, anything is possible if you dream. Although invoking, as such, his descriptions have been interpreted as predictions and compared with historical events since 2001. So he predicted an upcoming civil war having to do with order and rights. He described it as beginning in 2004, with civil unrest surrounding the presidential election of that year.
Mm.
Was that the Gore Bush year?
No, that was Bush Kerry.
Oh, that's right. Gore Bush was 2000.
Yeah, I don't know.
The civil conflict he characterizes as having a Waco-type event every month that steadily gets worse will be much at everyone's doorstep and erupts by 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Titter claimed that as a 13-year-old in 2011, he fought with the Fighting Diamondbacks, a shotgun infantry unit of Florida, for at least 4 years. As a result of the war, the United States splits into 5 regions based on various factors and differing military objectives. This civil war will end, oh, thank God, it's going to end, Greg, in 2015.
Oh, man, I'm ready.
With a brief but intense World War III.
Brief but intense?
World War III.
Sounds like my sex life.
So in 2015, Russia will launch a nuclear strike against the major cities in the United States. So I'm okay, but you're fucked.
Yeah, I'm done.
China and Europe. He will also launch against China and Europe, or Russia will.
Okay.
The United States counterattacks. The U.S. cities are destroyed along with the AFE, which is the American Federal Empire. We win. So, we're good. The European Union and China are destroyed.
I feel like the European Union's going to destroy themselves anyways.
And the nice thing is, in 2015, our debt to China is cleared out.
I mean, it just wipes everything back to zero. The slate is clean, right?
It's like Fight Club.
Yes.
Everybody gets set back to zero. Let's see. Tidder refers to the exchange as Ende, the letter N.
Ende.
Ende.
Okay.
Which sounds very racist to me, but.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. and Jacksonville, Florida are specifically mentioned as being hit.
Jacksonville, Florida?
Yeah.
All right. Not New York City?
Oh, no. Jacksonville, Florida is specifically mentioned. I mean, I would imagine that New York, Boston, Los Angeles, those would be common ones to hit.
Right.
After the war, Omaha, Nebraska is the nation's new capital city.
Yeah, I can almost see it.
It would make sense. I mean, it is in the middle. Let's see. He characterized the hostilities as being led by border clashes and overpopulations, but also points to the present conflict between Arabs and Jews as not a causation, but rather a milestone that precedes a World War III. Now, there's a part on this Wikipedia page about predictive failures. I think that's pretty obvious. They actually say, as a result of the many conflicts, no, there were no official Olympics after 2004. This is what he says, he claims.
Okay.
The politically uneventful staging of the 2006 Winter Olympics, the 2008 Summer Olympics, and the 2010 Winter Olympics refute his claim. I think just saying that Olympics still continue would be enough. Let's see, problems with technology. I don't know if we really need to go into that either, because I think that seems pretty obvious also. Although, let's see, Tidder claimed that he was sent back to obtain an IBM 5100 because it could translate several types of computer code. According to IBM engineer Bob Duke, D-U-B-K-E, Tidder's statements regarding the IBM 5100's little-known ability to emulate and debug mainframe systems were correct.
Ah.
All right, so that might be right.
How the fuck big must this computer be? Because I don't know what you know, but as far as I'm aware, computers, like, big IBM computers back in the day, like in the 70s, they took up like they were whole rooms. It's not like he had to go back and pick up a laptop. It was like in Alien when you have to go into the fucking computer basically and sit in there and talk to mother.
Yeah. Like, I think those were probably getting closer to personal computers.
All right.
So I think it's possible he could have needed to pick one up. At least that part of the story is true.
Okay.
Problems with the story. I don't know if we really need to go into this. Numerous commenters have pointed out that extensive similarities between Tidder's story and Pat Frank's classic post-apocalyptic fiction novel, A Last Babylon.
So would this guy read a book and just went nuts one day?
Yeah. Inquiry on the story. Investigated, there were no registered traces, I guess he couldn't find the family, no tapes, recordings, or evidence of Tidder were found.
So what?
And only Larry Haber, the CEO of the John Tidder Foundation and an entertainment lawyer in Celebration, Florida, confirmed his existence.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Oh, this is actually interesting. Lynch's conclusion, and Lynch is a private detective. So Lynch's conclusion is that John Tidder may be John Rick Haber, a computer expert who is the aforementioned Larry's brother.
Oh. Huh. I don't think this guy existed at all.
Well, somebody existed typing all this shit.
Well, yeah. I never heard of this, but it does sound a little fascinating. I mean, it reminds – I don't know. It's like – it's so detailed.
It is extremely detailed, yeah.
It's like when it's like in Terminator when Reese was talking about the shit and the doctor's like, this shit is great. He's like, it's so detailed. I could make a fortune off this guy.
It's incredibly detailed, and I guess if you dive into the posts, I guess he does really answer questions and goes into a lot more detail about things. To the point where it's almost believable because he has such a good answer. And I was reading a little bit of other stuff about Angus. He's always very consistent in what he says. His story never changes.
Hmm.
Because some people will ask the same questions and he has to repeat himself.
Right.
So here's my question for you. If somebody messages you and says, I'm a time traveler from the future, what do you ask him?
That's a very good question. I might actually go with the whole, how is time travel even possible? The only problem, though, is that I can almost guarantee that his explanation or their explanation will be way over my head.
Yeah.
But I don't know what else I would ask. I mean, I feel like I'd probably have to be like, how did you do that? It doesn't make logical sense being able to time travel. I mean, I've thought about it. I've looked at it every which way, but it doesn't make sense. I don't know.
And he's saying that the grandfather paradox doesn't exist, and he can come back here and change. And if he can, by him doing all this, it doesn't change anything because it's already happened in another universe.
Right.
But how does that not affect his universe that he goes back to? Because even in Back to the Future, Biff gets the time machine, goes back in time, and then you got Biff's casino.
Yeah. It just, doesn't it have to change something? I mean, it's just so stupid.
I honestly think I would ask him something more concrete because, again, I was doing a little bit more reading on it and skimming some stuff on it when they were talking about the movie. But I guess some people were like, well, what happens in December 2012? And he goes, oh, the Mayan prophecy isn't what you have to worry about. But okay. That's kind of fishy. I would be like, well, what happens next week on The Office? Like, or what?
Right.
Or like pick a show and be like, okay, well, how does, and like in 2000, like I think it was big in 2000.
Yeah, what? God, that was 12 years ago? What the fuck was I doing when I was, so I was 14. What was I doing when
I don't remember what shows I would watch in 2000.
I don't think I did anything.
Like the Harry Potter books were in 2000. The fourth one came out in 2000.
Okay.
So I would be like, what happens in the fifth Harry Potter
book? Yeah.
Like, tell me that. But he would probably be like, well, none of your culture survives in our year. But I'd be like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I'm not sure that this guy could produce any answer that would, even no matter how like concretely he answers it, I mean, how could he ever answer anything that would ever satisfy you? Because he's telling you he traveled back in time. Like, it doesn't matter. He's a wacko.
Here's the thing, Greg. If I meet somebody and they say, I'm a time traveler, and they make three very specific predictions that all come true, I think I'm going to believe them.
They'd have to be really specific.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he would have to be like, you know, he would have to know like the exact date that someone like got shot or something.
Yeah. Or he would have to know like exactly at what time the next day I'm going to take a shit. Like if he was like, you will poop tomorrow. I'd be like, okay, yeah, probably.
You will eat something at lunch and it will not sit right. About 1:30, you're going to be on the toilet.
John Titor, man of many talents, and maybe no talents. I mean, he probably didn't really exist. I'm pretty sure he didn't exist, but anyways, well, that's about it. That's about all I got for you. And you're probably sitting there saying, Greg, I'm a little disappointed. And you know what? You're not the first person to say that. I've disappointed many people. But you're going to have to deal with it. And hopefully we'll have a real episode for you soon. So, honestly, I hope you enjoyed the best of the crap, because I actually did try and do a good job and put this stuff together. But, yeah. Remember, everyone, no regrets. And if you want a real podcast, get two guys, not one Greg D. Nicola. Goodbye, everybody.